Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome along to the Let's Talk Racing audio podcast in association with Racing TV. What a weekend of racing to look forward to. Just top action, both sides of the Irish Sea. We've got the Morgiana meeting at Punchestown. We've got the November meeting over at Cheltenham. So much to get stuck into, and I'm joined by the perfect guest to do just that. Andrew Blair White. First of all, reflecting on last weekend, did you enjoy watching the racing? I was at Wincanton. It was busy, to be fair.
Yeah, it's great to see so many people back at the racing, and you did great work for that race day TV. And I took great pleasure in seeing you in a Liverpool jersey, I must confess, by the end of the day, for the people that haven't seen that, which was fantastic. But yeah, no, it's great. It's great to see such good action. I enjoyed Nathan Navin over here as well. Some informative results, some good displays as well, which I'm sure we'll get into. But I cannot wait to get back over to Cheltenham this weekend. You know, ever since I was there at October, I wanted to come back. I'm back here for November, and I can't wait for it.
I was hoping you were going to keep that race day quiet and that Liverpool top. That was not a good one. But yeah, no, the weekend is just, for me, the November meeting, as much as the whole season doesn't revolve around Cheltenham, this weekend, the Dublin Racing Festival and Cheltenham are my three favourite periods in the National Hunt Racing calendar. This weekend really kicks things off because you've got good racing over in Ireland as well. And I like being at Cheltenham and watching the Irish racing on the big screen. And the thing is, I think we both had a chat before. We both fancy quite a few horses, which is a good thing. Is it a good thing?
Well, hopefully so. Yeah, we've been in okay form in the last couple of weeks, especially yourself. You had a great weekend there, and we've had a couple of winners here and there. So fingers crossed that can continue going forward. It's just one of those, you've so many good competitive races at this time of the year at Cheltenham, over at Punchestown as well. Really good horses coming back out and running against each other, and therefore there's plenty of betting opportunities out there. So fingers crossed we can back a couple of winners.
The two horses are down in my best bets on the YouTube video. Both went there and won, one of them being Winhouse, who was 8-1 when I put her up. But on this podcast, we're going to review the weekend's racing at Wincanton and over in Ireland. We're also going to look at Chantry House. Is he a Gold Cup contender? We are going to discuss. Then we'll also have a look at a few horses that may have flown under the radar, as well as look ahead to those two meetings. We might outline a few early fancies at Cheltenham and Punchestown. If you do want to see a more of an in-depth preview, then tomorrow morning, over on our YouTube channel, it's Let's Talk Racing, and we will be doing a weekend preview. So do stick around for that and do go over and check that out tomorrow morning. But let's have a look then at the weekend. First of all, I'm going to start on the Friday. In this world for Dan Skelton, he came there with a lofty reputation because he beat Phil Dore over in Ireland. He was then the Triumph Hurdle favourite after a very impressive victory at Down Royal. In this world looked potentially not far off Phil Dore, and he looked very smart. I was very impressed. Were you?
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. His jumping could do with a little bit of improvement, but that's going to happen with a juvenile hurdler like himself. And I think he was probably, you know, alongside maybe Magistrato, they've been the two kind of standouts over in England so far. As you mentioned, Phil Dore probably leading the way from the Irish juveniles' perspective as well. So, no, he did it very well. We'll probably learn more next time out. You wonder where they'd go next time. I know, obviously, the Skeltons took out that Chepstow Grade 1 juvenile with All Mankind a couple of years ago. Potentially, that might be the next stepping stone.
Be interesting to see if he goes on variations of ground. I think he's got plenty of speed and definitely more speed than Magistrato, who runs at the weekend. I think that he could be, I think so far I'm going to say that he's the best British juvenile we've seen. Whether he can reverse the form, or not reverse the form, but confirm the form, the French form with Phil Dore later down the line will be very interesting, but I do think he's very, very good. Heading on to Wincanton on Saturday then, that we kind of started the meeting with a handicap chase, and then we went to Nappers Hill, who it was his second time over hurdles, and we were both at Chepstow that day, and we both looked to each other after his debut and kind of we were disappointed. He was obviously a very impressive bumper horse and lapped things up, but he was just disappointing in the jumping department. And I was hoping at the weekend we would see a better performance. He still made silly mistakes. The plan now is the kennel gate. Is he ready for that step up? I feel like he's got no choice. He probably doesn't want to have a double penalty in a novice hurdle. I've not got a grip on him yet. He's rated 130, the handicap has given him. Maybe they're looking at the big handicaps down the line, something like the Betfair hurdle, who knows. But at the moment, I'm not convinced.
No, I'm not myself either. Yeah, you'd have to think he's going to have to take that step up into Grade 2 company next time round. There's not really many other options, as you say. It's very kind of unfashionable these days to go and carry a double penalty in a novice hurdle. You just would be so disappointed with this horse's ability to jump at the moment. You know, it's so scratchy in and out. You know, at Chepstow, he was very novice-y. You can maybe make an exception for that on his first start over hurdles. But he was 1-10 there on the weekend. And, like, I know he's ended up winning three lengths. The Racing Post comments will tell you he's won it comfortably. But, you know, I wanted it to be more comfortable than what it was, you know, given the price he was, given the opposition he was up against. And I just would be... You know, I don't know what the key is. Does he need a little bit of a step up in trip to help his jumping? And maybe, you know, he does seem to be relatively strong at the back end of his races. But at the moment, he's certainly a long way off, you know, that Grade 1 class, which I know you're saying that they may go down a Betfair hurdle route, but I would have thought they started this season thinking he was going to be better than that. So I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they think he's done great so far and he's learning on the job, but... He wouldn't be for me, and I'd probably try to take him on in graded company.
I definitely agree. Iron Maximus makes his hurdling debut against Luttrell Lad at Exeter tomorrow. You'd imagine that might be on the cards for him. I'm hoping Iron Maximus is very impressive, and if he is, then I'd definitely be taking Nappers Hill on with him. For me, I think everything's just coming there a bit too soon or a bit too quickly for Nappers Hill, and up in trip might be his bag come towards the end of the season. I could see him running in something like the Mersey Novices Hurdle over 2.5 miles at Aintree, that kind of being where he finishes season up. I don't think he's a Cheltenham horse personally. A So Royale won on that card, the Elite Hurdle. He's one of those horses where, I'm not sure, it might be slightly unfair to say this, but against those real top notches, he always finds one too good, but then in these type of races, these grade twos, over fences or hurdles, he's always there. He always picks up the prize, and he's a brilliant horse to own.
Yeah, he's been fantastic for connections, and he'd be a horse you'd absolutely love to own, because he just mops up these races. I've never seen a horse so dominant at grade two level as he can be, and has shown in the last number of starts over hurdles and fences, which is a great feat as well. And I loved the way he's campaigned that way to scoop up as many prizes as possible. You can say that he's come up short at grade one level, but he's come up short against the likes of the Altiors and Epitons of the world. You know, they're the good, real top-notchers, as you mentioned, and I'm sure they're just hoping upon hope that at some stage they can rock up to one of these grade ones, and it might be a little bit softer, because you feel he's got the ability to win a soft grade one. But he was absolutely super again on the weekend, and it was a bit of a steering job really for Daryl Jacob. It was just a case of when to press go, and he jumped so slickly, and he put the race to bed in really impressive fashion.
Be interesting to see if they go to the Fighting Fifth, the International, or even wait until the Christmas hurdle for his next start. And that's if he stays over hurdles. He's so versatile, he can go chasing as well. Tiupu ran and beat Quilixios at the weekend. Is he a champion hurdle horse? He's been given quotes of the likes of 14-1 for the race. Do you think he could be threatening the likes of Honeysuckle?
Well, probably not, really, when you put it that way. But at the same time, he's now well more than entitled to go and run in grade ones and see what he's made of. I was of the impression that he probably wasn't at his Sunday best when he got beaten by Jeff Kidder at Ferry House last Easter. And I think that kind of came to pass, really. I don't know what happened at the end of last year with Jeff Kidder, you know, winning all those races and great and fair play to Connections for campaigning him so well and getting him to win all those races. But I never had him up at kind of grade one level, personally speaking. And I thought Quilixios got the run of the race in the Triumph Hurdle. I think he could run the Triumph another 10 times, and I don't think he'd win it once. To be honest, he's a horse, as you well know, Josh, I have never taken to. And to be honest, he looked slow, he looked ungainly, he was hanging to his right all the way, he looked a real complicated ride. I couldn't be touching him with a barge pole for quite a while. The only thing I'd say about Tiupo was that actually Autumn Evening, who tipped up at two out and gave Sean O'Keefe a fairly horrible fall, he would have definitely come second and might have given Tiupo a race. And Autumn Evening's a good horse, he's probably a well-handicapped horse, but he's probably no more than a good two-mile handicapper. So I don't think Tiupo will be winning any champion hurdles, but he's more than entitled to now go and take his place, potentially in that Matheson hurdle at Christmas time at Leopardstown over 2 miles.
I'm not sure he's a champion hurdle horse, but give it a go and let's see how far he can rise up the ranks. Brewing Up a Storm was impressive at Aintree. It looks like his route's going to be something like the Railkeel hurdle on New Year's Day, then off to Fontwell for the National Spirit, the race he won last year. You'd imagine he'd skip Cheltenham and then go to Aintree. So he's going to have a good campaign and the right races for him as well. There's pointless in dropping down for 2 miles. He doesn't have the pace and he probably doesn't stay three. My mate Mozzie, again, impressive. Andrew, you're a big fan of him. It looks like the Royal Bond is on the agenda next, up to Grade 1 company. Is he a Grade 1 winner in waiting?
Well, I think he's a proper Grade 1 horse, yeah, Josh. I think he's been fantastic in his two starts, and it's really excellent to see a horse as a novice so such an aptitude for jumping. I know Ruby Walsh was perhaps a little bit cautious about the way he was slightly angling out to his right at Navan, but I don't think that was too alarming, really. He was making lengths at every hurdle. He seems to really attack his hurdles, which is brilliant to see, and I thought he obviously had Booth and Boy well covered at the last. That probably exaggerated the winning margin, obviously, because Booth and Boy would have come second. But at the same stage, he would have been a very good and impressive winner of the for auction one way or the other. So he's more than entitled to go to the Royal Bond. I don't know, Josh. I just wonder, and I don't know why I say this, but over 2 miles, you know, again, is a little bit like So Royal.
You think he might need further?
Yeah, that he might just need a little bit of a step up in trip. You know, maybe 2.5, you know, at Grade 1 level. I'd love to see him in maybe the Lawler's an Ace if he got beat in a Royal Bond. I just look at the Royal Bond, and if you think of Three Stripe Life maybe turning up, Mighty Potter, like, these are very quick horses in my eyes. I know people have it in their head that Three Stripe Life might be a stare. I think he's got loads of speed. So it's just one of those, I'll be interested to see it. I'd love him to go and win the Royal Bond. I'd love to see him develop into a proper Supreme or Ballymore contender, because I think he really, really is a very smart horse. And when you compare him, say, Josh, to, like, he's had two starts over hurdles, and Napper Seal has had two starts over hurdles. It's absolute chalk and cheese between the two of them.
I've been very impressed by my mate Mozzie. He goes to the Royal Bond with a real chance. You mentioned the likes of Mighty Potter and Three Stripe Life. I'm personally a fan of Three Stripe Life over Mighty Potter. I think that Three Stripe Life has got more gears. It's going to be fascinating to see where they're at that stage of the season. Chantry House went to Sandown on Sunday and made his seasonal reappearance in a match race against the Big Breakaway. What has happened to him? So disappointing. Doesn't travel anymore. He doesn't jump over fences. It seems like a nightmare at the moment. But Chantry House, nothing more than a schooling session for him. I think people are umming and ahhing whether this horse is a Gold Cup contender. I don't think Chantry House is a million miles away. And he was very fortunate probably to win those two races in the spring. If Envoy Allen was at his very best at Cheltenham, you know that he would have beaten Chantry House that day, but he fell early on. And then at Aintree, Chantry House did look in trouble when Espoir de Rome was leading, I think, two out. I don't think Chantry House has been given the credit yet. I think he's a good horse, and I hope they go for something like the King George. I think a fastly run King George around Kempton, it's tight round there, but he's got plenty of speed. He's won over 2.5 miles. I think that could be a nice indicator to see where he's at, and the likes of Milella Rindo potentially going there. is fascinating. I think he's better than people are giving him credit for, and I do think he is a Gold Cup contender. I think the Haydock Betfair Chase is make or break for Champ. Now, if you're a watcher of the Let's Talk Racing YouTube channel, you'd have seen our monthly Cheltenham update. And at the start of the series, I put up Champ for the Stayers Hurdle. Mark my words, that is not dead. If he runs extremely well, keep him over fences and just have two darts at the Gold Cup with Chantry House. I don't expect him to run well. I don't think he's a good jumper of a fence. And that's going to be a competitive race up against the likes of Appleutard. I think they're going to revert to hurdles. Well, there's whispers that he's already going to revert to hurdles after the Betfair Chase if he is disappointing. But going back to Chantry House, Gold Cup contender?
Yeah, very hard one to know, Josh, really, with Chantry House. Like, he's, as you say, he's won two grade ones last year as a novice chaser. I've never seen a horse get such a lack of respect for winning two grade ones at Cheltenham at Aintree. I think, personally speaking, I think he might as well have won at Aintree. He seems to be, if you have a look at that Sandown run, you know, the only thing that I'd be able to take away from it would be that he just seems to be one of those horses that somewhat needs to be kept up to his work all the time. You know, he's a little bit lazy at times. Nico was constantly, you know, giving him a few taps down the neck just to get him to concentrate on the job, but he jumped super. I know there wasn't much pressure on him, and the big breakaway, geez, you wouldn't back him with stolen money until you saw something a bit better than that, because he seems to have completely lost his marbles. But Chantry House, I think he's a nice horse. I think he's as good as they've got over in England, to be honest, in the Gold Cup picture. And you know, you look at the Gold Cup picture overall, Josh, it just doesn't look that deep a race, personally speaking. Usually at this time of the year, you're looking at a Gold Cup thinking, oh, you know, all these horses, you know, that might get there. Yeah, of course, you've got Manella Indo, you've got Appleutard, last year's 1-2, could well develop into being the 1-2 again this year. But apart from that, like, you've got Album Photo in there, you know, who's another year older, and I don't think he's without a squeak. And then you've got Chantry House. Like, there's, because of Monkfish's absence, you know, there's very few contenders, I think, in this race. And you know, I think there's a similar enough type of price you can get about Chantry House and the likes of a Galvin or something. I know who I'd be backing, and it's the one in the JP McManus Silks.
Interesting. That is interesting. Over the weekend, I picked up on a couple of notes. Rose of Arcadia ran in the race at Under the Seigneur, ran in, I think, over 2 miles with a bit of juice in the ground, down in trip. She'll go from the front and she will be winning races very soon. She's definitely ahead of her mark. She was just extremely exuberant over that distance, and that caught up with her in the latter stages of the race. And Jack Barber won the bumper at Wincanton that day. His yard in general is absolutely flying. He runs Flying Sarah at Cheltenham at the weekend, entered in both the mare's bumper and the bumper on the Sunday as well. I think that she could go extremely close at the weekend with the yard in such good form. And he seems a real shrewd operator, picking these races that his horses can win. And he must think a lot of Flying Sarah. Any other weekend notes from you?
I thought that the racing at Naas & Avon was obviously very informative. I quite liked a horse that at Naas at a lower level this might be, but a horse called Wow Wow, he won on Novice Handicap debut for Dermot McLaughlin and Brian Cooper. He won it at Hack Cantry. He's won his last two over fences now, and to be honest, I think he might go in again. I think he's still well ahead of his mark. I thought he was running off, I think, 115 on the weekend. I think he's a 130 horse, so if he's running off maybe even 123, 125 next time out, he might win again.
I must give you credit where credit is due. Manella Trump, you said in the four to follow video that this horse is ahead of his mark. I think he's won 4 times since on the bounce. Relentless.
What's the score now? What's the score?
Well, I think the score the other day was something like 13-6. I'd imagine it's something like 16-7. Okay. But we will have to check, and we will be updating people, maybe on the video or on Twitter. So do go follow us over there if you haven't already. Now, let's look ahead to the weekend. We're not going to go into massive detail about some of the big races, but we're going to mention a few horses that we've got our eye on early. We obviously want to go into the likes of the Greatwood Hurdle, the Paddy Power Gold Cup and the Schlur Chase in more detail with footage and whatnot. And we'll be doing that tomorrow morning. So do tune in on our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Racing. But we're going to mention a few horses we've got our eyes on. I'm going to start actually in the first race on the Friday, Scatman. I cannot believe this horse has been given a rating of 122, Andrew. Lorcan Williams is looks like he's jocked up. Scatman is also entered on the Saturday or the Sunday in a 2.5 mile handicap hurdle. Very similar, but this one's for conditional riders. Lorcan Williams is penciled in to take off £3 in this race. So he'll be running off 119. To put that into perspective, Tom Malone bought this horse for 170 grand. He beat Barbados Bucks, who's rated 143, and Lieutenant Rocco, who's rated 147 over fences in his point-to-point. He was 9-1 in an Ascot bumper, which was won by Soaring Glory. He was second string to Brave Man's Game, who was third that day. And on his hurdling debut at Musselburgh in March, he beat Present and Counting, who's now rated 145 over fences. He's had the run. He won at Newton Abbott. I think the pipe horse, YG Drazzle, I'm not sure how you pronounce the name, who finished second that day, is rated 116. He'll be winning definitely off that mark. I cannot believe Scatman's given a rating of 122. He'll love the ground. I think if he doesn't win, I'd be bitterly disappointed. I made it clear on the podcast, actually. I thought Scatman was going to be their Persian war horse, and disappointed that they entered Paso Doble. So if he is that good, and I think he is that good, surely 122 is extremely lenient.
Yeah, well, you make an extremely compelling case for him, and you know, based off the evidence that you've told us there, that he must be well handicapped off 122, you'd just be a little bit concerned, I suppose, as you say there, that he's almost been a fairly negatively campaigned. Now, maybe they're just trying to, you know, make use of his mark and run in the races. Obviously, this conditional jocks race is an 0-1, 2-5, so it's a very winnable race at that. But the fact that he kind of started off in a novice hurdle around Newton Abbott, now he's taken on a conditional jockey's hurdle, like, you'd have thought they might have had maybe slightly loftier ambitions for him. But, you know, he certainly does look on the face of things and based off the balance of form well handicapped.
So he's not a novice anymore because he won a novice hurdle last year. So I think the plan is to go chasing after this run, and maybe they're thinking they can scoop a Cheltenham handicap hurdle on the way. Also on that day, I quite like Editeur d'Ajit to win the 2 miles handicap chase. He was unseated at Ascot the other day. It's left-handed, it's good ground, and he'll jump for fun from the front. That's what he absolutely loves. He's had the run, and look, I can see the angle with Stolen Silver, having before midnight won very impressively for the same yard at the October meeting. And then also on the Friday, Akay Fernando for the Skelton team in the Ballymore, the Grade 2. He beat Mr. Whittaker at Carlisle, and I was taken by that. He's a five-year-old, and to beat a horse like Mr. Whittaker, who's a Cheltenham Festival winner, albeit very old, changed yards to Donald McCain, but that changing yards can usually reignite the flame in these old boys, these old legends, and he definitely ran well, and I think it was a very good performance from Akay Fernando to beat him. The ground will be right up his street, and Mr. Whittaker has won since. I also think that Glenn Casely will run well at 16-1, but Akay Fernando 7-1, I think that is a good chance. Andrew, any fancies on the Friday?
Yeah, a couple for you. Well, a horse that's got multiple entries this weekend, I'll be following him no matter where he goes, is Tony Martin's horse, Good Time Johnny. Ever since he actually ran mid-div in the Champion Bumper a couple of years ago in Fernie Hollow and appreciated the Champion Bumper, he came ninth. I've always thought he would develop into a good hurdler, and he finally put things together at Goran Park the last day and absolutely sluiced in off 111. He's now off 126 over in Britain. He's entered in the first race on the Friday and also the intermediate race on the Saturday over 2.5. And he's also got an entry over 2 miles of Punchestown. I'd love to see him come over, and I think he's extremely well handicapped. I think he still could be a premier handicap hurdler at some stage during his career. The cross-country race often gets won by a horse that potentially won't go on to win the race in March time, and I think Diesel Dallier's got actually a very good chance of maybe repeating his win in this race from 2 years ago. He's now with Richard Bandy, who's got a very good record with chasers over in the UK. Obviously, he was trained by Emmanuel Cléou. He loves these sort of banks. He came fourth in the big cross country behind Easy's Land at the 2020 Festival as well. So he's got good form around these Banks, and I think he's around an 8-9 to 1 chance. There's been money around for him, so I think he's got a very good chance. And then one for Saturday, just to look forward and to preface on to that 3-mile listed handicap hurdle. Obviously, people that have listened to us plenty of times, Josh, will know how much I'm in love with Bardenstown Lad. Well, the horse he beat last time out, Dragon Bones, runs off 132 here.
Now,
she also has the entry of the 2.5 mile Ballymore race on the Friday. If I was Connections, I'd run her in this. I think she's extremely well handicapped off 132. Her run the last day behind Bardenstown Lad was excellent. I think a few people thought she might have even been a shade unlucky, and if that's the case, she'll be winning off 132. She's currently 7-1. If she gets entered for that race, Josh, I think she goes off maybe 3-1, 7-2 on the day. I think there'll be a lot of money for her.
Absolutely, especially with those connections, the same trainer, the same owner winning the race in 2018 with First Assignment, and a very similar actual profile, a very improving type with Dragon Bones. I'm going to leave it at that. I can spur my list of fancies for the weekend, but I'm going to save some of them, and my nap of the weekend is actually 16-1, and it runs on the Sunday. So do tune in to our YouTube preview tomorrow morning on Let's Talk Racing for the rest of that preview. We do hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and have a great weekend racing. If you don't get round to going to the races, watch it on the television, and I'm sure it will be just as good. But we'll see you there if you are, and have a good one.
It's Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.